Welcome, everybody. You know something? There's a phrase in the church. And a lot of people say, oh, that's milk. And you know it is, but it's also meat. And the phrase goes like this. Let me read it just so you know. And I'm going to quote it properly. It says here, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Could you quote that off heart? Most of you probably could. But that's milk. But do we? That's not so milky, is it? Along with that, I'm going to make an analogy, and everybody's going to relate to the analogy very, very easily. Not that, well, I've been in there one time. It's called a birthing room at the hospital. Who's been in there before? See their kids? Most people? Eddie, not you? No, okay. It's an interesting place. It's where life begins, right? But the analogy is this. This human fetus, 9 months, is inside this warm little place. It's a perfect spot, and it goes on there for something like 9 months. I'm going to ask the ladies, who's had children here? Does it go on longer than 9 months sometimes? Does it go on much longer than 9 months? Sometimes, but not much. If it goes on longer than that, they have to do what they call a cesarean. This is not in my notes, I just thought of it. It's called a cesarean section, right? So the growth of that little fetus, we'll call it, grows constantly for 9 months. And you know something? It's finally born into the outside world. And that's the stage of it, right? That's how it works. This growth, brothers and sisters, never stops while it's inside that protective womb. Now, think about that. You're probably saying, what's he talking about that for? Well, it's also a requirement for the Christian life growth, right? From a spiritual begettal and our baptism, right, to our spiritual birth. When? Inside that narrow gate of the kingdom of God. It's much the same. To make it to that birth, like the fetus in the mother's womb, to its birth, we must always keep what?
Growing,
yes. Now, you might think that's milk. It's not. Because when I finish this sermon, you're going to know why it's not. So consider how begettal, the fetal development, it's perfect, becomes perfect in this process that it's in. When it comes out, how many look at their newborn baby and say, oh, it's not perfect. Never happens. It's always perfect, right? Always. We just use that as a generality. It's always perfect. Well, we've been called to the same deal spiritually. Matthew 5:48, what's it say? I won't quote it. You know what it says. We're to be perfect. So, spiritually, we've been begotten by God. When His Holy Spirit unites with us, with our human spirit, and the growth process starts in the womb. This is the environment inside that spiritual womb. We are much like fetuses, aren't we? Starting the growth process and that all-important spiritual development, it has to take place. So what I want to discuss here this afternoon may sound real simple, but it becomes complicated. It's the important topic of spiritual growth that each and every one of us have been called to. You and I have been called to this. And the title I've given this message this afternoon, and you may choose a different one, but I'm calling it real simple. Growing up into the kingdom. So let's consider also that the spiritual womb-like environment can really be seen as what we're doing here. But overall, it's what we would call the church. We're just a small little part of the church, right? Make sense? So when we come across that, We should see that as something fairly significant. Church life is important. Can't ever get that out of our minds, because we have to come into the end of this. We have to come out of this, right? We want to be seen as perfect. So, our most important purpose in life right now would be born into the family of God. Let's see something very important about that now. A little bit of feedback going on here. Let's go to John, the 3rd chapter. Let's turn there. And just as the unborn baby must grow from its beginning size, John 3, grow from its beginning stage, that starts off no larger than a pinprick. Very, very small start. Fed on physical food, has to what increase in all this physical stature, doesn't it? To come out 9 months later. So once we are impregnated as well with something a little different, with the Holy Spirit in this life, we too must grow up spiritually. Fed on what? Thank you, Reg. Spiritual food, the Word of God. That's what we feed on. That's what we're here for today. Generally, that's what takes place at every Sabbath service. As well, prayer factors in, making this communication, because God communicates us with His Word, right? So we communicate back with our Word. So this is between us and God, back and forth. And this communication works two ways. Well, this takes place. What is taking place? We're growing up. We're getting bigger. We're getting better. Hopefully. Spiritually, awaiting a new birth. When we're going to experience what we refer to as the born again experience. This new birth that's to come. When? For us, at least. So the picture goes. At the very first resurrection. So John 3, I'll start off in verse 2 here, cutting into it. So here was the Pharisee Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, who came to Jesus. And I quote verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which has been born of flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is of the spirit. John 3, verse 7. Do not be amazed that I said to you, it is necessary for you to be born again. Don't be amazed at that. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know the place from which it comes and the place to which it goes. So is everyone who has been born of the Spirit. So, a physical fetus, we're back to that again, must grow physical. Must grow physically large enough as well to be born. So being a begotten Christian as well must grow in grace and in what I refer to as steadfast knowledge of Christ. Must overcome, must develop in spiritual character during this life in order to be born into this kingdom that's coming, the kingdom of God. Now, as the physical fetus gradually, one step followed by another, develops all the organs as it goes through this 9-month period, develops the features and characteristics of his mother and father, or of her mother and father, whichever sex it is, so the begotten Christian must also continue to develop spiritual character as well. That's what it's all about, right? To be born. Such as love, faith, patience, gentleness, and all and every one of the Christ-like character that it takes. This begotten one must live by and be a doer of what? The Word of God. We must put on developing the divine character. Now, here's an honest question. I have to ask myself this same question. It doesn't escape any one of us. It requires honesty. How am I doing? How are you doing? How are we doing? Steadily growing? On your way to the birth? On your way to the narrow gate? On your way to the coming kingdom? Well, the stakes, brethren, could not be higher. Because unless we continue to grow in spiritual character, development, be more and more like the Father in Christ, we risk becoming like the unborn babe that miscarries during the term. And shall never be born of God. We have to develop. We have to grow all the way to the birth, or risk not being born at all. Bottom line, grow or die. That's reality. Grow or die. We get this chance right now. Now, the physical fetus, let's go back to that, in the womb, how does that grow? It grows naturally. Takes place naturally. Doesn't need any coaxing. Doesn't need any biblical scriptures. Needs nothing like that. It grows naturally. God takes care of it. Right? But spiritual growth does not come natural. Do you ever think about that? I'll tell you what else comes natural. A lot of physical stuff. How do I know that? I'm physical. Understand that? Without a problem. The spiritual growth is not natural. We have to work at it every inch, every centimeter of the way. Growth spiritually towards the coming kingdom does not come automatic. We're not on autopilot. Now here's something very interesting. I picked this up out of a writing by the Philadelphia Church of God when I did this study. I can't remember the fellow's name that wrote it, but he probably got it from somewhere else. He writes about this guy that wrote a book, his name was Anders Ericsson. Does that ring anybody's bell? Anders Ericsson? No, doesn't ring any bell. Okay. Well, this man, sounds like a European man to me, studied how people became experts in various fields. And this was math, science, music, all different kinds of things. All these professional skills. And this man, Ericsson, wrote a book entitled Secrets from the New Science of Expertise. He wrote a book about that, showing some really interesting points and really blew my mind when I heard about this. It made sense to me. But it also made sense to me because it shows the way of the spiritual. Same thing happens with our growth process. We have been called to accomplish on this spiritual level. It's no different than anybody that studies something else. It all happens the same. This man over here would tell you that. He's been studying lending money to people for a couple of years. It doesn't come naturally. You have to study it. Same thing with us, okay? Now the assumption is this. here's the assumption that this Anders wrote about. That experience produces competence. When you learn, when you start studying into it, when you start looking at it closely and start bringing it into yourself. Now, with this competence, whether it be a teacher, a doctor, or somebody that's practiced doing something for 20 years, could be a professional driver, somebody that drives people around, a chauffeur. They figure that after 20 years, you're going to be doing it better than somebody that's been doing it only for 5 years. Well, Anders studied this, and he found out that is not the case. When I come across, I say, wow. Well, he says this. In his study, he found this out. Once a person reaches the level of acceptable performance, the additional years of practice don't necessarily lead to a whole lot of improvement, if any. This is what Anders Ericsson discovered and wrote a book about this. It just about blew me away. Some of us have been at this for a long time, this calling we've had. And he says in the book, these automatic abilities gradually deteriorate in the absence of deliberate effort to improve. It's not in my notes. My mother used to say, do not rest, this is a British term, a British saying, do not rest on your laurels, she used to say. Do not rest on your laurels. So in other words, without ongoing effort, growth plateaus, and then it declines. Anders wrote that. Spiritually, think about it. We start off strong, don't we? Right around our baptism time, we're red hot. We're really excited. We're fresh. We're urgent. We're changing dramatically from our old ways into our new ways. It's like we're running the rapids if you're into canoeing. It's like you're running, you're excited, you're just going fast. And you just love it. You can't get enough. The question is, though, how much are we growing now? For me, it's been 40 years. That's the scary part. Because this initial rapid growth naturally slows once we've made those big changes and are not careful over time. If we're not being careful, guess what? Anders writes, the growth is going to plateau. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 this time, just 3 verses, 1 to 3. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. Habits of prayer or study, once maintained with focus and intention, once again, when it plateaus, becomes ho-hum, becomes routine, which by definition is something you no longer even think about. It's easy for me to do that as well. I'm like you. I'm human. We're just going through the motions. We retrogress. I had to check that word out. I wasn't quite sure what that meant. Here's what retrogress means. We go back to an earlier state. Typically, Anders writes, a worse state. Think of that scripture about the dog returning to its vomit. This message I brought or made up for you guys today, I made up for myself. I didn't find it all that easy to do. It was tough stuff. Bottom line is, you and I cannot remain static. Each one of us is either growing or we're regressing. Forwards or backwards. Why? Because of it's our human nature getting the better of us. Influenced by who? Yep, old scratch. The adversary. Satan, always pulling us where? Towards complacency. we do good at that. I know I do. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, and I quote, "Now you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walked in times past, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience, among whom also we once had our conduct in the lusts of our flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children as wrath, children of wrath rather, even as the rest of the world." So we must constantly battle to bring our thoughts and attitudes under control so God can give us the growth. God wants us to grow. What exactly does it mean to grow in grace? Let's have a look. 2 Peter. Let's turn there. We will always have issues and problems from outside the church. 2 Peter 1, we're always going to have issues outside the church that are going to rattle us. Do you feel rattled sometime by that? I do. I could live in a whole neighborhood. Just me there, just Sandy and I, only two. That rattles us a little bit at times. The outcome is always dependent upon our response is how these issues turn out. Now, if that's not enough, we can have battles and problems inside the church as well. If the outside battles aren't enough, we got the inside battles going on as well. That makes it doubly hard, doesn't it? Here we are, 2 Peter 1, verses 1 to 3. The Apostle Peter tells us we must grow amongst all this stuff going on inside and outside the church. It does not come easy. Verse 1, 2 Peter 1, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained the same precious faith as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord and of Jesus our Lord." Verse 3, "According to his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called by his own glory and virtue, through which he has given to us the greatest and most precious promises, that through these may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." The corruption in the world through lust. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's not written there. I'm just bringing that in. Growing in grace means growing in the character that comes through God's Holy Spirit. We have to be growing in godly character day by day. Growing in the knowledge of God. In other words, you and I need to be good students. We need to do that first. Remember, you and I have to be good students before we can become what? Good teachers. You've got to be a good student first. That is a super strong statement. If we are to become teachers, we must be grown to be able to be born into God's family. Growth. Remember that. Growth is so important. Peter begins here, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus." That knowledge. No other knowledge will get you there. If you've got a television set that runs all day long, throw a brick through it. That's going to keep you out of the kingdom. I'm not making that up. That's a serious distraction that brings no salvation. Zero. The more we gain this precious knowledge, the more grace and peace will be multiplied. If you're doing nothing, if you're watching the national time waster called television. That becomes an idol. Becomes a bad idol. Overall, through God's great and precious promise and divine nature, we have to become more like the two of the Godhead. No, nowhere else. You don't look to me, you don't look to anybody else. You look to two of the Godhead. That's where the perfection lies. Peter goes on to describe the growth process itself, endeavoring to inspire you and me all of these spiritual insights. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, "And for this very reason also, having applied all diligence, besides, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control endurance, and to endurance godliness, and to godliness brotherly love, and to brotherly love the love of God." You see any television set there? I didn't. Nope. Verse 8, "If these things exist and abound in you, they will cause you to neither be lacking any effort or lacking any fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So filling our minds with spiritual knowledge through consistent communication with the Godhead, through prayer, and coming back to you through the study of the Word, the Bible. Now, today is the training ground for what is yet to come here on planet Earth. Are you joyful? Am I joyful about that? We should be. Taking on the discipline of our thoughts, our words, our impulses, sin is easily distracting. It sure is. Remember the Israelites out there in the wilderness of sin. That's what it referred to, the wilderness of sin. Well, we have the same in our modern day. It's no different. The wilderness of sin out there. It's happening all around us. We have to impatiently endure the trials and continue in obedience without quitting, without stopping. It needs to constantly be a walk forward. Quitting, letting down, that's super easy to do. What is really needed is the awareness of God's presence. That's what we need to focus on, God's presence. He's always watching. Somehow he's watching. Maybe he's using angels, I don't know. When we do this and reflect on his character, what it should do is bring the question, how am I doing? Am I really reflecting godly character in the details of my personal life? Is the old me showing up too often? Am I emulating the Christ? And it should be the Christ who we emulate. We strive to be putting, of course, others first before us with compassion, even when it's difficult and they're undeserving. We still have to do that. That's a hard thing to do. Very, very hard. We are to grow in Christ-like qualities. The more and more we resemble the image of the Father, we do this just as a child in the womb grows to resemble his two parents or her two parents, whatever the case is there. And these qualities, all these qualities, when they increase in you, you become increasingly useful and productive for God and his loving purposes. 2 Peter 1 and verse 8, "For if these things exist and abound in you, they will cause you to neither be lacking effort nor lacking fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." What happens if we don't grow? Well, 2 Peter 1, verse 9 answers that. "But in the one in whom these things are not present is spiritually blind, so short-sighted that he has forgotten that he was purified from his old sins." It's forgotten. We become like, we've heard this quote, we've heard this word, we become like Laodiceans, lost in the existence of the world around us. The dressing up like Christ, the putting on of Christ, that has been abandoned. So Peter continues on, verse 10, "For this reason, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, because if you are doing these things, you will never fail at any time. For in this way, you will be richly granted an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And verse 11 makes it clear that this is the only way to the birth, to this born-again experience inside the narrow gate in the kingdom of God. Now, what we've been given in life will never, ever, ever hold a candle to anything that's coming down the road on the other side of that narrow gate. Nothing. But the spiritual growth requires something very, very difficult for us to do. But we can do it. It requires all diligence. We have to work at it. We have to fight at it. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Right here and now. It has to take place now. The human frame, or this human mind, is against all this stuff for some reason. It's difficult to be on track spiritually when there's so much physical around to take us off the path. Inactivity, I should say, will threaten to slow and then even reverse the process of growth. There's an adversary actively trying to stop your and my growth, to see you die on the vine, pruned off. The adversary is going to do everything in his power to stop your and my growth process so that we abort from this journey we're on. This adversary hates humans. He wants all of us on death row. Having been a murderer from the beginning, we read about that in John 8, verse 44. We are being sought after physically, being sought after spiritually, to take us right out of the play. Because once we cross over that narrow gate and born into the kingdom, this evil one will not be able to touch you and I at that point. So the urgency is now to kill us before this birth takes place. Now, this death that Satan wants us to experience, this spiritual death, does not need to be some dramatic assault. It can take place simply by getting you and I lazy, lethargic, to get us to stop growing, to get us to put the brakes on spiritually. You know something? The baby in the womb is really helpless. Can't really help itself. But you know what? We're not in that position. We can help ourselves. We can do something. We can change. That's the difference. Another analogy. If I have a plant growing and I throw a cover over top of it for a couple weeks, guess what happens? The plant gets no light. It'll probably die. If I don't water it for, let's say, a month, guess what happens? It's going to die. If I don't feed it the nutrients it needs, think about this spiritually. If I don't feed it, this plant, the nutrients it needs, guess what's going to happen? Death. So there's all kinds of things we can look at in that regard. Being taken out of the play from this born-again experience that awaits us can only happen if you and I give our consent to that. We have to consent to that. Okay? We are all students right now in this portion of our life, learning, developing, to grow in grace, to grow in the character of God. Not only just the knowledge, but living a Christ-like life as well. Developing the life of Christ in our lives right now. That's what it's all about. James 1 tells us, therefore, having rid ourselves of all filthiness and all the abounding of wickedness around you, then in meekness, or in humility, in other words, receive the implanted word, which is able to save your lives. Then be doers of the word, not hearers only. I tell myself that all the time. When I'm just a hearer, guess what I am? I'm deceiving myself. That's how it ends up here. Not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. End of quote. The word waters us. The word fertilizes us. So we can grow up and remain on the vine, produce all the important fruits of righteousness. The reason you and I need the knowledge is to learn what to do. And the knowledge does absolutely no good unless we put it to work and actually do it. It all comes down, really, to one word. Do. Remember what we already said. If you do these things, you'll never fail. 2 Peter 1 verse 10. Now, our adversary pushes us towards what? Laodicean lukewarmness. That's an easy deal. Laodicean lukewarmness, it's almost unnatural. God wants us to be just the opposite. Passionate for His Word. When we are passionate about something, that is a natural prod toward continual improvement. Having zeal motivates us. As you improve, zeal itself will grow. Growth brings acceleration. Acceleration. It makes us feel good. If we're really connected to the two at the Godhead, we will be growing in spiritual maturity. We will be weaned from the breaths of simplicity and spiritually maturing. And being weaned from these breaths, connecting line upon line, precept upon precept. You'll find that in Isaiah 28. A newcomer in God's truth is often overflowing with lots of spiritual zeal. Each of us must work to fuel that zeal and cause it to work all the time, overtime. Be watered and fertilized from the Word of God. We should all be coming here every Sabbath and blinding ourselves with our own personal lights. Oh, boy, Eddie, your light is just blowing me away. Thank you for that. That's what should happen. We come together. If we've been in the church for a while, we should be progressing beyond the first love to the second love, then to the third love, then to the fourth love. It goes on like that. You keep on having these new love affairs with the Word of God. This love should be developing and growing until our very last breath, or until the moment we're born into the kingdom of God. Excitement should be oozing from every one of us when we consider what we have been called to. There's virtually, really, no ceiling of growth. Growth is exponential. Andrew Erickson also wrote in his book, you can keep growing and growing and growing, getting better, better, and better. How much you improve is up to you. There is no point at which performance maxes out and additional practice does not need to further improvement. So you can always improve. a game of improvement that we're in. That's really what it is. This is even truer in the spiritual life that we've been called to. There is no limit on the development of godly character, because the character we are growing into is that of God the Father. And that's perfection. So that's the way up there. The bar is high, but we can do it. We just have to tell ourselves we can do it. Look what it says in Psalm 92. Let's go there. This I found was a very interesting thought, especially where I find myself today. Psalm 92:14. As we age, we naturally want to sit back and rest and give in to the forces of aging, right? I know a guy here that doesn't want to do that at 92 years old. He doesn't want to give in. He's at ease. He's a going concern. Anyways, God has designed for us as well when we get older. He wants us to fight harder as we age, to develop further levels of character. More than anything else, that fight presses us to look to Him, not ourselves. To rely on His strength rather than our own strength. Look what Psalm 92:14 says. This is out of the New King James. And I quote Psalm 92:14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. If you look in the center column there, it says, they shall be full of oil or sap, and green. Think of Eddie, sitting right here in front of us. He's got all kinds of spiritual energy. My congratulations to you, Eddie. We're discussing our spiritual growth here today. In this message, we're just wanting to tell the enemy to get lost. Right? The Laodicean spirit is deceptively subtle, bringing in self-righteousness that can deceive one into thinking everything is going good. That can happen. Everything is going really good. However, spiritual poverty can enter in, pushing the spiritual needs to a much lower level. Don't go there. Push back. I bring this up because it's so easy for any one of us to slip into thinking that we have all this abundance around us, so I must be doing good. Look at all this materialism I've got. It's easy to get like that. You see, a Laodicean is not really anti-God. This one, in all likelihood, could be attending church. Yeah, regularly even. But unbeknownst to this person, he does not realize that their faith has shifted somewhere else. And a lot of the time, brothers and sisters, it's towards materialism. It happens. It's easy to do. We have to be always so careful to constantly check ourselves on this, because we can be so comfortable and get tied up with all this stuff, and even physical activities can drag us into complacency. It's easily happening. We have to be guarded. You're probably thinking of Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Let's turn there for our last look-up scripture for today, where we find the church at Laodicea, Revelation 3, which none of us want to be associated with, right? We all want to be Philadelphian. To be criticized as being Laodicean, not one of us in this room want that. Revelation 3, verse 14. This is what I was going to get you to read today, Sonia, but I changed my mind. I'm going to read it myself here. Hopefully I don't stumble through it. Revelation 3, I'll start off in 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginner of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you be either cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and are neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not understand that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold purified by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and to anoint your eyes with eye salve, so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and him with me. To the one who overcomes, I will give authority to sit with me in my throne, even as I also came and sat down with my Father in his throne. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. End of quote. Now, naked does not mean that they were without clothing, but rather that their spiritual condition had been exposed. God's righteousness was not clothing them. Every Christian needs to be aware of this particular principle. God does not condemn wealth. He wants us to prosper, but doesn't want us to become distracted away from Him. In one sense, probably, it's dangerous for God to give His people wealth, because it could turn us away from Him without our even being aware it's taking place, without it being aware that it's even happening to us. We want to be spiritually rich and also have a good balance in the physical matters of life as well. Work at keeping the physical and the spiritual on an even keel. Remember the balances. Keep it even. Keep it running smoothly. Okay? Because brethren, you know something? We're living at a very incredibly exciting time with this amazing plan that the two in the Godhead are working out. Do we get that picture in our minds? Current events right now could be shaping up perhaps something big to take place. If you listen to Jamie today, he was saying that maybe something big is happening. Let's continue to watch this. So guess what? In doing that, we need to be ready. Every day, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not in the new year. Right here, right now. It's my deal, it's your deal. We got to be about our Father's business. Our spiritual growth is of what? Top importance. Do you tell yourself that? I always feel the need to constantly remind us that the narrow gate is not very far down the road. I always feel that need. Can you sense it? Because for some reason, I sure can. Let's keep our lamps trimmed and our talents, both sowing and reaping. On the inside of the narrow gate, we always want to hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you are faithful over a few things, enter into the joy of the Lord.